The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
In the open square that was in front of the Watergate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this great morning. We thank you for Remnant. We thank you for this great body of Christ you have put together here and gathered this morning. We just pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us and just convict us and show us something new we can grasp and lean from, God, and learn from. So we thank you for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will leave that text up there for a little bit for me. There's verse 3. From daybreak until noon, they read the word. From the morning till lunchtime. Some of us can squeeze in 5 or 10 minutes. And they read from morning till noon. And it's doable, folks. We can do it. Just got to make some time through your work. I work all day. I'm in front of a computer. I get to read some verses here and there. And I read throughout my day as well. It's very important. And this is like the Bible is our manual script for life. It's going to guide us, guys. It's going to teach us. It's going to show us. It's going to convict us, hopefully. It's this holy word. And are the pictures up there, Jeremiah? I got some examples of some pictures of what happens when you don't follow the rules, the laws, the instructions. I gave Jeremiah some pictures. I don't know if that went through. There's one. Guys, your wife bought a nice cabinet. I don't need the instructions. I can do this by my own. They end up like that, right? Another one, Jeremiah. What else you got? Ladies? We're guys, they've tried to bake something similar, didn't quite follow, overheated it. What else, Jeremiah? Guys, electricians in the house? I've done some electrical work in my past, and I've shorted out the whole house. Why? I didn't go to the manual. Is there any more? Let's just keep going here. Ladies? The French braid, is that so true sometimes? There's a pattern to everything, and if you don't follow through, that's what it's going to look like. Is there more, Jeremiah? Just keep going. This was for Jerry. Where's Jerry? Look at that. Can you imagine the guy in shop, Jerry? What was he thinking? He must have got a ride to work on a taxi and got confused and was spraying the car. And there's guidelines. Is there more, Jeremiah? Is that it? What else do I got? Look at this one. Guys, my favorite, right? Getting creative now, twisting the rules a little. We like to do that. Change the rules up a little bit, right? Is there another one? This is this one. Look at this one, guys. That's a biggie, man. That's the county planned this bridge and oops, off by a foot or two. Let's start all over. Somebody didn't read the blueprints. Is there any more? That's it. Blueprints. See, God already has our blueprints laid out. He knew you would be here this morning. And I am so glad there's little ones today because I'm going to speak to the younger generation as well. God has a word for you little kids as well. See, He wants you to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible, teenagers, little kids. Because we just read right there in the text that when they read it, there was the dads, the moms, and all the little kids that could understand. To me, I'll give you an example. If we go to Interstate 8 and you take a 2 or 3 year old and we're right off the freeway, what's that 2 or 3 year old going to do? Walk in, try to cross the freeway, right? Cars are flying through there. A 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, he's going to think about it. He already knows, like, you know what? They're coming pretty fast. I got to time this one. But they're daring enough to cross it. 6, 7 years old, they're not dumb. You 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, any teenager in this house, you're smart enough not to cross that freeway until it's safe. Right, young ones? Right? What happens if you run in front of a fast car? shall. You get hit. There's rules to follow. And God laid out his word for us to follow. And it's important to read. And I found this statistic that I want to read to you on reading. And this is in general, not just scripture, just reading alone. And I need to share this. I'll interject here. What I'm going to read, I was a statistic of what you're going to hear me read. And this was all over the United States, a true statistic. 2 in 3 students who cannot read proficiently by the end of 4th grade will end up in jail or on welfare. Over 70% of America's inmates cannot read above 4th grade level. 1 in 4 children in America grow up without learning how to read. Students who don't read proficiently by 3rd grade are 4 times likelier to drop out of school. As of 2011, America was the only free market Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development country where the current generation was less educated than the previous one. Nearly 85% of juveniles who face trial in the juvenile court system are functionally illiterate, proving that there is a close relationship between illiteracy and crime. More than 60% of all inmates are functionally illiterate. 53% of 4th graders admitted to reading recreationally almost every day, while 20% of the 8th graders could not say the same. 75% of Americans who receive food stamps perform the lowest 2 levels of literacy, and 90% of high school students drop out are on welfare. Teenage girls between the age of 16 to 19 who live at or below the poverty line and have below average literacy skills are 6 times more likely to have children out of wedlock than girls age who can read proficiently. Reports show that the rate of low literacy in the United States directly costs the healthcare industry over $70 million a year. In 2013, Washington, D.C. was ranked the most literate American city for the 3rd year in a row, with Seattle and Minneapolis close behind. Long Beach, California was ranked the county's most illiterate city, followed by Mesa, Arizona, and Aurora, Colorado. That's a true statistic from reading. And I'll tell you what, and I put down here in my own little notes, reading is important. You know when I started reading? When I met Jesus. I didn't read in school. I didn't care about school. I just got through it with C's and D's. Little kids, teenagers. I didn't care about school. But let me tell you, little ones, it was hard because I didn't stay in school. I didn't read. And to top it off, because I wasn't reading and I wanted to do my own thing, this is where it's important, young ones. I started disrespecting my parents. I cussed at them. I hated them. My mom's here. She can tell you. One day I walked in, I ditched school, and I walked in like 11 in the morning, and she calls me. My mom goes, and she's here. You can tell her after church. Mom, they're going to ask you. La van a preguntar, eh? I want to be real. She speaks Spanish. She'll understand your English. Ask her. I walked in one day from school. I ditched, and I was all proud and arrogant. And she goes, where were you? I don't have to tell you. Shut up. That's what I said to my mom. And I slammed my door in my room in their house. I was in their house, mind you. A minute later, there's a knock on my door. What? My dad is standing there, bam, right in the mouth, as they say, right in the kisser. And when he hit me, I was going to swing back, but I stopped right here. And I said, this is wrong. How can I be wanting to hit my dad and curse my parents? Something stopped me. God stopped me. The Holy Spirit. And I didn't even believe in God then. Young ones, it's important to listen to your parents. It's in here because we just read it. When they broke out the scrolls, he said, men, women, and all that can understand. Young ones, you understand what God wants you to do. I know all our parents aren't cool. My daughters thought the same. My daughters hung out with me from 5 years old all the way, me and my wife were talking about the other night, till they were about 14 or 15. Then they were too cool for me. They weren't around daddy anymore. I took them everywhere. I didn't care. But once they hit the 16, 17, they didn't want to be around dad. By 18, they did great in school. Straight A's, both of them. I don't knock them for that. But they hit 18, they were gone. And guess what? Now they're in their early 20s. They text me, call me, love you, dad. They have changed. But I've been praying too. But I wasn't a perfect dad either. I learned to apply this. There's instructions to everything. And we all have an authority over us that we have to submit to. My parents weren't the coolest when I was 16, 17, and 18 and doing my own thing. They weren't. But when God showed me, it hurt. It broke me. I love my mom. And my dad's with Jesus. Our parents are good for us. I needed that discipline. I should have listened. My mom could tell you I could have been an architect. I was a very good artist, a good drawer. But music obviously drew me a little more. But I should have been an architect somewhere in some building, like a CEO. Because I have brothers that are smart. I just followed the wrong path. I didn't follow the manuals of my parents, of the instructions. They always try to tell me daily, stay in school, study, me, hang around with the good crowd, not with the bad. I didn't do none of that. And I'm not proud of it. I was very illiterate. When I met Jesus, I started reading. And I haven't stopped reading. It's been going on for 17 years now. I can't stop reading. I love history. I love the history of Bible stories and just reading. You know what reading does? Us older folks, if your brain stays active reading, you live longer. It's also proven. It's not on the statistic. Most elderly folks that hit 60 get Alzheimer's because they stop doing everything, no activity, especially reading. And I worked at a retirement home where there was 120 folks in rooms, and half of them read, and they were active and going out, and their kids would take them, and they were with their walkers walking as fast as me. But the 6-year-olds and down that didn't have any type of activity, I'd go in their room, they would just sit there, no read, they had Alzheimer's. By the time they hit 70, they had Alzheimer's. Reading is good. Reading is good, little ones. Take it from me. You don't want to be my statistic. Stay in school. Listen to your parents. God's word is real, and it'll change you. It'll guide you, young ones. I'm trying to find the young faces here. I'll get to you older folks. Oh, not everybody's raising their hand. Okay, you want to go there? Listen to what I'm going to say. All your ugly people, put your hands down. You're all ugly then. I'm the only good-looking one. Did you hear what I said? All you ugly people, put your hands down. She got it. Okay, there's a few cute ones in here. Okay, there it is. There's my intro. Okay, now here we are, Nehemiah 8. We have priests Jerry and Jeremiah and myself on what they've been going through and everything they've done. I love some of their sermons. I'll go back and listen to them at work. I'll hear nuggets here that I can glean from. And now here in chapter 8, they're done with all the work. The wall's up. The sanctuary is up. So what happened? What happened? They didn't have time for reading. They stopped reading God's word. They stopped reading God's word. How many of you faithfully read your Bible daily? Rhetorical question, but thank you for your honest heart. Do you read your Bible? Do you have a Bible? If you don't have one, we'll furnish one. They're here. Take one. Please. You need to read God's word. I'll say this and I'll go out there on a limb. I'll guarantee you that probably half of us in this room will read more texts from our friends and families in Scripture in a day. Maybe in half a day. Oh, that one hurt, huh? I felt it too, guys. I read texts too. I text people. But I read my word. Some of us are texting, reading more texts from our family and friends than reading Scripture. How do you expect to even have know God and how He works and who He is? You need to read your Bible. If you're not reading, how can you expect any connection with God, any conviction, any conversion in your life? See, God wants consistency. People that are consistent, not perfect, because we are not perfect people. We're sinners saved by grace, by Jesus Christ, by God's grace, we're saved. But He wants consistency. If you don't read your word, how are you going to know what conviction even means? Sometimes I do things, I think things, I'll say things that aren't nice or good or morally right before God. I feel convicted instantly. I feel bad. And I ask for forgiveness, and I'll go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Consistency, folks, we need it. See, you can have beautiful architectural structures, well-oiled programs, but it means nothing if God's power and presence is absent. Don Francisco, a gospel singer-writer, has a song called the steeple song. And I just took out a little piece and it says this: I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you have your parking lot all paved and put pads on your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing the cues? We can be missing the cues sometimes, folks. We can look good on the outside. As I put here, we can look the look and talk the talk and walk the walk. You look pretty good, yeah? My life's all in shambles. They don't even know. We can fake it. We can make it look good on the outside. That's where God wants to get in the inside. But how are you going to even know how to work with that if you're not reading His Word? We need to read. We start having a disunity with God and with others, including your family. You start clinging to people instead of your own family. You start listening to the other ones outside other than your own unity of love and family. We need God's Word in us. See, it changed me. I hated reading. I didn't read a sentence in school, a paragraph of that. Now I can't stop reading. Reading is important, folks. How can I compare it to, or what can I compare it to? Let me say this much. Don't eat for a day. How are you at the end of the day? I'm hungry. Anything. Give me a tortilla with butter. I don't care. We get all grouchy, huh? I don't care. The bread's a little crusty. I'll put butter on it. Butter always makes it better, right? See, if we don't feed the body, we get hungry. Your stomach starts talking to you and arguing with you. Feed me. I don't care if it's a crusty bread with butter. Our soul is the same. Our spirit within us cries to us from the inside. Read, talk to God. And you know why some of us can't hear that or feel that? Because you're distant. Because you're not reading. And not only not reading, if you're reading, God bless you, but are you applying it? Are you practicing what you're reading? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Go to church, in other words. These are just verses that are coming to my mind that are in here that I've read. I can't tell you the addresses, but I know they're in there. Love people. Love your loved ones. Love your family, even if they can't be loved. My mom loved me out of her heart in my drug life. She stood for me, and I was all messed up. I was a dope head on drugs, and she always backed me up. You want to talk about a love? Talk to my mom. And I'm going to cry because I'm looking at her. And I know what she's feeling because it hurts me too. I'm not proud of what I did to her. But when God came in, man, she was like, praise the Lord, God. Right, Mom? She was like, I could see it. She was so happy. Jesus saved me. I tried everything, folks. I cursed and yelled at her. But God came in. And when I read His Word, I was so wrong. Oh, Mama, I'm so sorry. I love you. I came to my dad. I love you, Dad. I'm so sorry. And every time I see him, I would hug him and love on them. That's all I do now. And I do with people. Why? Because I've been reading His Word. If I'm going to be in the image of God, what should I show first? Love. If you're showing one thing and acting another way, you're deceiving yourself. You're being a hypocrite. I know it's hard. It's hard for me too. But I don't want to live a hypocritical life. I want to be transparent before the church, before my colleague pastors, before my wife, and mostly important, before God. And everything I say from right here that way, it's before God. And He knows my heart. I will not say nothing from here I don't practice. Now you have two witnesses you can come ask about me. Ask my wife and ask my mom. Who I used to be and who I am now. Because of God's power in His Word. We need to read it. It'll change you from the inside out. Look at Hebrews 4:12-13. what I mean by God's word's alive and how it came in me and just flipped me inside out like a sock. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts as deep as the place where the soul and the spirit meet, the place where joints and marrow meet. God's word judges a person's thoughts and intentions. No creature can hide from God. Everything is uncovered and exposed for him to see. We must answer to him. You're not listening to your parents. God is right there watching you, little ones. You're disobeying and not telling, doing what your mommy and daddy said. He's right there. Oh, I didn't say anything. You're thinking it. He's right there. Adults, are you loving each other and caring for each other? Or are you having judgmental thoughts about your partner? You know when you have doubtful thoughts? I lived this in my past with my partner. I had doubtful thoughts about her, but I never told her anything. But it was my own guilty conscience because I wasn't doing the right thing either. It's your own guilty conscience when you're judging people even in your mind because you have a guilty conscience. When you have a clean, clear conscience, not perfect, mind you, because we're sinners. When you can live with a clear conscience, you're not going to have those thoughts anymore. You're going to look of how to love on them, how to reach to them, how to just make them smile. Someone asked me this morning, Frank, you're always smiling. My tia Tracy asked me, you're always smiling. What's Jesus? Because before, for all the years before Jesus, my smile was the other way. All the opposite. Now it just went, God flipped it around. I cannot stop smiling. Ask my wife from the minute I get up, man. I'm a nutcase laughing, making her laugh. It's the joy of the Lord because I was so lost, so miserable, so hurt, so broken, so tore up, so messed up. And God came in just by reading God's word. This is what you get. I've had people die in my life, including my prior wife, my dad, not too far apart. I've been in jail. I've been poor. I've had food stamps. I've lived on the streets. But Jesus changed all that. As a Christian, I struggle too. But you can smile through the rough times. It's okay to get alone and cry. That's normal. Trust me. That's good for you. Get alone and cry. But when you're around the congregation, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, reflect love. Show love. Encourage each other. The Bible says we're to encourage each other. His word is alive, and it wakens you up, it quickens you. All this energy you see, it's his word that's made me this way. See, I was energetic in the world. Some of us like staying late for other things, but we can't come to church. Some of us can watch all these other programs and all these other movies all day, all night, but we can't watch a Christian video or read scripture or just shut it all off and sit for 10 minutes and talk with God. It's important. I'm telling you, sharing with you what works through God. I'm sharing my heart. These are not on my notes. I'm just telling you what God does through people and what he can do through your life. But if you're not reading, you're going to be distant. The sword can't cut you in and out if you're not reading. It won't convict you. You live as you want to, and when you see your Christian friends, you smile, you act like, hey, God bless you, how you doing? I'm great, Jesus, praise the Lord. But you go home, and you're another animal, another creature. Jeez, what happened to you? Oh, leave me alone. That's not of God. The word of God says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're in his image. What are we to do? Be the same all the time. This guy you see right here, again, ask my wife, ask my mom, my sisters are there too. I'm a nutcase, man. And I even tell my wife, I don't know why God would want to make me a pastor. I'm a crazy, loud drummer. Passion. Testimony. Bold enough to tell you what God would say to me and to you. That's the spirit of God. See, and when God's word cuts, it does things in you. It's not going to feel good. It's going to hurt. But we need it. And when these people read and heard God's word, my first point is this. They realized. My first point is this. They realized they had distanced themselves from God. They realized they weren't right there with God. Where are you right now with God? Where are you right now with reading your word? They heard it and they're like, oh my gosh, Lord, we're so sorry. It cut to their soul, to their spirit. They realized what they were. Look in Nehemiah 8, 9, the second half of verse 9 in Nehemiah chapter 8. I just put up there the second half of verse 9. It says this: all the people were crying as they listened to the reading of God's teachings. What did God allow them to hear? That was my first question when I read that. They were busting up in tears. And the kids too. Why the kids? Do you wonder why the kids? I did. They were probably weren't listening to their parents. They'd go with their little friends and talk about mom and dad and curse them. Go clean your room, forget you. Go do this, forget you. I think that's why those little kids were crying, and they heard when they heard the, through God's word, what they taught, when they read it. People were broken. We need to realize where we're at with God. They heard things they hadn't been doing for the Lord no more. These people had lost it. They realized they were distant from God. When these people gathered and read God's word, God spoke. God is here speaking Sunday after Sunday through these pastors and myself, God's word. We're not sugarcoating. We're not inventing stuff. We're bringing it straight out of his word. Where are you at with God? Is it getting anywhere? Are you reading? Are you applying? Are you listening to your loved ones? Kids, are you listening to your parents? Or you think it's, God's not real. He's not going to do me nothing. Yes, he will. Your day will come. I was that kid. I never listened to my parents, young ones, and it led me all the wrong paths. All the wrong paths I took. You know why I took all the wrong paths? Because everybody else was doing it. They don't go to church. They don't act like Christians. I'm going to do it too. I'm not going to read my Bible. It looks like it's okay, but it's not. It's not okay. Because you're going to grow up one day, young ones, and it's going to bite you. Learn now. Learn now, young ones. I didn't learn till I was in my 30s. But boy, I haven't been able to stop because I realized I needed something. There was an emptiness. I partied and drummed and had fun, but the next morning there was something missing. What was it? I didn't have Jesus. I was empty. There was an empty spot that God wanted to fill, and I kept closing that hole and closing that hole, and he couldn't get in because I didn't let him. Mom would tell me, my brothers and sisters, Frank, you're a mess. Why do you live like that? Oh, I'm okay. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. I was a bad dude. Don't mess with me. And that's what I thought till God put his hand on me and said, listen, mijito, I'm going to change you now. I'm going to show you who I am. You're tired of your drinking, your partying, your sickness, your night longs, your ventures you've had. I'm going to change you now. And boy, 17 years, he hasn't stopped. He's still working on me. Amen? And he wants to work in you. He wants good things for all you young ones. But it's not going to come if you're not reading his word, if you're not listening. You need to listen to your parents. Couples, married couples, boyfriends, girlfriends, listen to each other. I practice hard every day to listen to my wife. I'll be honest, once in a while I'll slip and she'll go, you didn't listen to what I was saying. I go, no, I didn't. Please forgive me. But she's a sweetheart. She'll tell me again. My wife's a beauty of an angel. She forgives me right away and repeats herself. Why? Because I wasn't listening. Why do marriages struggle? There's no connection. I like looking at my wife all the time. We're here sitting up. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Jeremiah. Sure, uh-huh. She admitted she does the same. And me and my wife are going to work on keeping that fire. We want that flame to get bigger every day because you know what? The enemy wants to always get in your business. Bring up a remote. Bring up, I forgot a phone call. Bring up, I forgot to pay a bill. And you're going to fight about it. Right? You didn't put gas? What do you mean it's on empty? Didn't you see the gauge? I didn't see it, honey. Oh, and then you're all mad. I ran out of gas. We just go get gas. I said it last time. We went to Lowe's and bought all this stuff and we're paying and she didn't have the card. We went and got it. Oh, in the past, I probably would have cussed her out and caused her dad too and everything. Dad's here too. But I'm good now, Father. Father-in-law, I love my father-in-law. He's awesome. I'm scoring big brownie points up. God's word is good, guys. Just realize where you're at. Get back up. Get back up. God spoke to Moses and he passed it on to everyone else who would follow. God's word is a continual reminder to us, to them, and even now for us to apply. Have you really realized all God has done for you and gives you? Have you really just sat down and thought how far God has brought you, even through the bad? Even through the bad, God brought you through that. Why? So you can testify. A lot of us gather and we're talking about God and, well, I'd rather not say. How are you going to be delivered? Jesus said, if you confess your sins to one another, you're set free. The load comes off. Little by little, it starts getting, you'll be able to lift your chin up a little more and really smile like you really mean it. Kind of like this. I really mean this smile. You know why? Because I know what God has done in my life. All the good and the bad, it was Him. And now I get to testify and glorify Him for all that He's brought me through and bringing me through and carrying me through always. And He does that for you. But we need to realize, you know those good days, that great weekend you had? Those answered prayers? Then here comes Monday through Friday. Back down again. Carry that weekend with you. Jesus says, think on things above, on the good things. Why do we always want to badger each other with the bad things? Remember yesterday? Remember last week? Remember what you did then? No, let's remember now, pray about it, and move forward. Realize God is in the middle of all your relationships, working on you. And sometimes He'll give us an opposite partner to show you your faults and vice versa. That's why God does that. It's about 80% proven statistically that couples that marry or boyfriend, girlfriend, they're so different when they finally hook up. Gosh, what did I get with her, man? What's going on? When in all truth, God is showing you all her bads in her and vice versa. He wants you to see her faults, but she's going to see yours too because you ain't perfect either. And that's how God works. He wants you guys to work on it. And that's what I've learned with Scripture and to work with my wife in our marriage and our relationship and with people and with teenagers and with whoever. It's all in here. I have realized. And it doesn't stop at realizing. See, these people gathered. It says they gathered the people. And this wasn't a Bible conference. It was a Bible convention. Not a conference. Because a conference is open for discussion. A convention, you make a decision. Where side are you on? Are you just gathering as a conference to have your own comment, your own thought, your own view, and say, you know what, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not going to practice that. Are you, in your heart, are you coming spiritually to a convention to make a decision? Say, you know what, God, what I'm hearing is right. I believe it's your word, and I believe you're speaking to me, and I do need to work in that area. That's a convention. These people came to a convention. Where are you at in life, at a conference or a convention? Rhetorical question, please. As you read, and as they read, they weren't looking for the people to agree or like what they were hearing. These folks were looking to see what decisions they would make after they heard God's word being taught. They realized they had stopped reading. They realized they had stopped reading. We need to realize where we're at. We need to read His word to speak conviction into our lives. After we realize we need to respond, because today many are responding. I put that many, many, many people are responding to God's word. And you know what they're responding, by the way? Oh, no, thanks, I'm good. I don't need God. That's what the response we're getting nowadays. I'm good. It sounds good, yeah. The service was all right, but me and God are okay. Many people are responding by saying no to God. I did it for many years. Till I hit rock bottom, till He showed me, you can't go any higher, Frank. I've been on you since you were born. You were a good little kid, but you started turning on your parents. You started doing all these evil acts, and my love was there. I was right there with you, Frank, and I'm letting you grow up now. You had jobs, you had great jobs, but you had all these things you did in your life, all these corrupt marriages you messed up, all this drinking and drugs and violence and lying and cheating and dark life you led. I was right there, Frank, but now I'm going to turn you around. Now I'm going to show you who my son Jesus is, and He's going to work through you, and He's going to speak through you, and you're going to speak about my son all the time. And guess what? It's happening. It's God's word. But you need to respond to it after you realize. When I realized how lost and messed up I was, I responded, look in Nehemiah. Look in Nehemiah 8:10. Then he told them, go eat rich foods, drink sweet drinks, and send portions of to those who cannot provide for themselves. Today is a holy day for the Lord. Don't be sad, because the joy you have in the Lord is your strength. God is saying, this is good for you folks. I'm right here. I'm your strength. Respond with a good attitude. Trust God. Be honest with yourself. These people got it because God spoke. And God has been speaking here at Remnant every Sunday to our hearts. And he's saying, I'm right there. I've been right here the whole time. I am your joy. What caused all this crying and brokenness to these folks after reading and hearing God's word? What made them respond after they realized? What happened? What made them respond? Conviction. Is there any conviction in your life when you're doing something you know you shouldn't? Or you know what? I'm good with this. I got this. It's okay. Me and God are good. No, you're not. If it ain't convicting you, if you're not, it's not breaking you to go apologize to that person. If it's not breaking you to go make it right, something's wrong in your spiritual life. There is no connection with God, and you need to be reading his word. It convicts me, folks. When I write these sermons, I'm like, oh, God, that's a good one. That was right here. Oh, right to the heart. Conviction is good for you. When you're feeling bad about something, don't feel sad. You say, you know what, God, you're right. I'm found out and I made a mess of this. Forgive me, and I'm going to go make it right. That's all he's looking for. But some of our hearts get hard, like Pharaoh, and you just, it's your way or the highway. But let me tell you, folks, in the long run, it's going to bite you. Only through God's word our lives change. Explain mine. I loved what I used to do in the past, and I loathe it. And now I preached against it. And now I try to reach young men and women that live the life I led. Nothing else could change me but his word. My mom, bless her heart, at her church, she was praying for me all my life, and I never changed till I found Jesus Christ. He healed me. He touched my body. He touched my mind. And most of all, he touched my mouth, because it won't stop for Jesus. He touched my mouth. There's a scripture where Isaiah, I think, says that an angel came with a coal and he put it on Isaiah's lips, and Isaiah started preaching God's word. Well, I actually tell that angel, come to my mouth, put a coal in my mouth. Every time I'm going to talk about Jesus, if I'm standing with you one-on-one, if I'm standing behind the pulpit, if I'm at work ministering to a guy that almost came to Jesus yesterday at work, he was crying, but he still didn't make that decision, I say, angel, come, bring that coal, burn my lips, tell me what to tell him. Call that angel. I challenge you. Angel, with your coal on the lips, put it on my lips so you can speak. It's all rusty for some of you. Open your mouth and say, I'm a Christian. I've been Jesus. Say it. Preach Jesus. Live Jesus. When you realize and you respond, you need to respond. When you respond, there starts to be unity in your life with God, with your family, with your loved ones, with your enemies. Folks, there's enemies I run into in town all the time that we had physical fights with. Hey, bro, what's up? I'm a Christian too. And we meet each other and say, hello, now my enemies. I was in gangs back in my younger years, and now we're friends. How dumb were we when we were kids? We're dumb because we didn't know Jesus. And now God has let me talk to my enemies. That's awesome. Only a living God can do that. Nobody else. And reading his word, but only through conviction. And after they realized and responded, then what? Then they rediscovered. They rediscovered themselves through God's word. They needed to be reading. They got too busy building. They got everything done and just forgot about going back to his word. I know some of us work all day like myself. I work a lot of hours, but I'm reading and I'm looking for sermons and I'm looking for Bible studies and I'm praying in my lunch hour. I'm praying in the mornings with God. I do not want to stop because my fire will turn into a flint. Are you a fire or are you a flint? Are you just a little spark or are you a torch for God? Where are you? I want to be a torch. I want to talk to people and make them sweat. let God just go in there and, like, he got me and flipped me inside out. There was a driver that showed up into my warehouse. I said this many years ago. I'm in the warehouse office, a little booth. It's kind of warm in there, and I'm just reading my word, a little 5-10 minute break. And he always comes from San Diego. And one day he walked in, closed the door. He goes, "Oh, what are you reading the Bible?" And we're talking for about 2 minutes. He's just sweating profusely. He goes, "Dude, it's hot in here." I go, "No, it isn't. It's you, brother." So I said, "Okay, God, you're getting Gabriel's heart. Grab his heart." I led him to the Lord a year later. Yesterday, one of the mechanics came to me, and I invited him here. He's not here, but I'm going to get on him tomorrow at work. But I told him, come, that he wants to cry, and he's like, he's holding it, and he doesn't want to receive Jesus. He has a hard heart, but I can't force him. He wanted. He asked questions. How do I come back? He feels he messed up, and he can't come back, and he's being lied to by the devil and by self and by pride. It'll deceive you. Don't let whatever you're facing let you down. You keep going. You're breathing and alive. Praise God. Some of you can walk around and they'll still do stuff. You young ones can get up and go throw the trash like mommy and daddy wants you to. You're young enough to do your homework and get it done. You're smart enough to do what your parents tell you. Do it. Ask my mom. I was a good little kid when I was a kid. She said I was quiet. Wherever she sat me, I just sat there. But boy, once I got on the world, got ugly fast, and I didn't stop. I was 100 miles an hour, and God saw that. He goes, I'm going to take all that drive, all that passion I put in this guy, and I'm going to turn it, I'm going to use him for my kingdom and my glory and for Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with me. I love, like Jerry says in Jeremiah, preaching here and talking and working beside two great pastors. I love this church. I love because he lets me tell you what God can do. I'm willing to let him speak through me. I want him to use me to get it into you. It needs to be in us. So rediscover. Look at Nehemiah 8:12. Nehemiah 8:12. I'm almost done, folks. Nehemiah 8:12. When they rediscovered where about God, it says this. Then all the people went to eat and drink, to send portions. They had a big joyful celebration because they understood the words that had been explained to them. It says here clearly that everyone understood. That includes the little kids. Understood all the way to the elderly, the older people, they all got it, and they wanted to be sad. But Nehemiah and Ezra said, no, get up, let's be happy because God's gonna do great things. And I'll go hang out with your family, go take food for to those that don't have, go feed your uncle, your aunt, go lend someone $20 that you know needs the money. That's what they're saying when you realize. And some of us that can provide, do it. There's going to be once in a while someone needs some help from you. As much as you can't do it anyways. There's times me and my wife are like, well, okay, you know what, honey, I believe it's of God. Let's just do this. Sometimes you should pray about it. You can tell that person, you know what, let me get with you tomorrow and pray. But this is what this is saying. They rediscovered that they could have unity. There was probably people in this crowd in Nehemiah's time, as they read, families busted up, a friendship gone bad, someone lost a job and they were mad. And here's Nehemiah reading God's word. You know what they were reading out of? They were reading out of Joshua 23. When you go home tonight, read Joshua chapter 23, that whole chapter. Joshua was quoting Moses, the law, everything God requires of us. And you know what it says through that whole Joshua chapter 23? What God has done. I've done this for you. I've been there for you. I've helped you. I've provided. You have health. I have fed you. You have clothes on your back. You have a vehicle. You have everything. And yet we complain about the littlest things. And these people heard this and they were convicted to the heart. Because they had gone so complacent, so distant from God, and so set in their ways. God will not work in your life if you're not seeking him. God will not answer or talk to you if you don't read his word. You have to read his word to rediscover him in your life. And there'll be unity again with others. And when the word was explained, God just reminded them. Look, I've brought all your generation for generation from poverty to good land, to land of milk and honey. And when you guys were almost out and dying, I fed you again and I gave you water. God's always there. That's what they rediscovered. The word of God gets explained here every Sunday. So where are you with God? We should rediscover that we're Christians and we should have joy no matter what in us. No matter what. I've been through some doozies, folks. But I can smile. It's been tough. Reading God's word will let us rediscover the joy in our life. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. I think that one's the right one. Who is our hope, our joy, or prize that we can brag about in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Isn't it you? Do you want to be found when Jesus comes back all lemon face? This Jesus, he ain't coming back. Oh, hey, Jesus, what's up? Yeah, I was waiting for you. I was always smiling. No, you weren't. You want to be found hating on someone? You want to be found after you curse someone out of your mouth when Jesus comes back? Because he's going to come back when we least expect it, folks. You need to be ready and look up. Be ready and joyful. You go through stuff because God's just dealing with you. He wants to work something in you. Sometimes he'll bring us through the desert, and sometimes he'll bring you to the mountain. And we're going to rediscover things as we go. There's always ups and downs because it also strengthens our faith, our trust in God. Oh, this scenario will never change. Well, are you rediscovering? Have you realized, responded, and rediscovered what God says? Have you took it to God's word if it'll change? Or you'll change? A lot of us don't want to change because we like where we're at. You know what? I'm okay right here. I know what it says right there, but I'm okay. Well, God will be the judge of that. Hebrews 9:27 says, you live once, then you die, and then you face the judgment. It's your call. I'm just telling you what God says, what it says in his word. So we need to realize, respond, and rediscover God. Amen? Worship team, come on up. It's time to realize, folks. You may stand if you want. We'll close with one more song. And this song is called Center. It sings about Jesus being the center of your life. If Jesus is not in the center of your life, it's going to be rough, folks. You need Jesus in the center. You need to let him grab the steering wheel. You need to let him drive your boat of life. Let him drive. It's going to be hard. Sometimes we won't get our homework done on time. Young ones, sometimes we'll not do well in school. Sometimes we won't do what our parent says. But right now you have realized you should and you need to. Right now you should be responding, folks, to what God is trying to tell your hard heart. Some of you today have a hard heart. And you need to be broken. I cry every Sunday morning in the mornings. I get up at 4 or 5 in the morning to pray every time I'm going to preach. I pray and I cry. I don't know if my wife can hear me. But it breaks my heart. Because I tell him, break my heart with what breaks your heart. What breaks your heart? Does your heart even break? Or do you got a good rock in there that says, you know what, I'm good? Men, you need to be broken. You need to let God soften your heart, men. Learn to love, men. Learn to respect, men. Learn to have integrity, men. Guys, women. Learn to respond, women. Be respectful to yourself and to others, women. Pray for your man, women. Pray for your husbands, women. Pray for your children. Pray for your marriage, everybody. Pray for your home, folks. Little ones, pray for your grades. Teenagers, pray for that teacher you can't stand. Young ones that are struggling financially, pray for a job. We're all struggling. We all have mountains and giants. But there's a God greater than that mountain. There's a God taller than that hill, that battle you're facing. But we look at that mountain before we look at God. The Bible says the universe, that we don't know how big it is yet, it keeps going. The psalmist says, I hold it in my palm of my hand. We serve a God, folks, that holds everything in his hand. He says he holds all our hearts in his hand. Do you want your heart to be in his hand or in your own hand? realize, respond, and rediscover yourself today before you leave. Leave it here. Leave it here. Change it. God wants you to, and He's going to help you through it.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You